The following programming is sponsored by Factorum Business Solutions. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
What's the cause and effect? A doobie's packed and they fat, now you call and collect. They booby trapping a trap. The police pulling the pulley, you'll fall for it, you silly. Putty, you out of shape. Funny, you'll catch a case. I can't relate to half of my relatives. My genetics is felony. Buying low and reselling it. They tell me, tell a story. I'm like, why not mine? Everybody taking pictures, I'm like, why that vibe? And growing from the ground, jumping look like I'm a vibe. It's rarity in my realness, yeah, I'm a fine diamond in a rough type, rough house in a row house like rugby, lovely. When you hit a lick, little kick like Chun-Li, funny. Kids that I hoop with all in county, county. Black bodies turn them down, look like bounties. Bound to be on the block a little while longer. They your homies, this one homies, what don't kill you, make you stronger. Call Obama, Jesus, Jesus. He can say Chicago from the demons and the deacons. When it's the end, yeah. Dodge precincts since preteens. Let's pretend we privileged, not DC's addicted.
It look like funeral home, church, church, liquor store, corner store, dreadhead, dead lid, dead toe, tenfold, tenfolds from Cicero to Central. Was told, let it go. Didn't know who to hit though. Now that's church, barbershop, bottle I got from the liquor store on Cicero. I ain't 21, but he didn't know.
Welcome to the Tone and Tenor Show, Bipartisan Voices of People. I'm Randall Jefferson.
I'm Pat Edward.
Our show looks at major issues impacting the nation and region from a bipartisan perspective. We want to hear from you. Our listeners, call in and join the conversation. Our call-in number is 1-888-329-3306. That's 1-888-329-3306. Our phone lines are now open. You can also send us your comments via social media on X, we are at Tone and Tenor on Instagram. Our handle is at Tone and Tenor Radio. You can also like us on our Facebook page. Just type in the words Tone and Tenor in the Facebook search engine to find us. This week, we're going to continue to talk about primary elections, recent primary elections, winners, losers, and the distractions. As Pat's always said, elections have their consequences. But also, Pat, you know, one of the things I think we need to include in that is redistricting also has their consequences. You know, especially here in the state of Pennsylvania and the city of Philadelphia. You know, some folks have won these elections and
these primaries. If nobody ran against you, you ain't win nothing. You ain't win.
Pat's
you got to beat somebody to win. Let's be clear.
Well, that's how it was. Let's think about this. In the state of Delaware, they had no presidential primary election because there was nobody running on the Democratic side or the Republican side, but the presumptive Republican candidate Donald J. Trump and the present Democratic candidate and president Joseph. Biden.
This dang geriatric Reese. This is a joke.
I think Pat's in studio and he's kind of fired up today. But, you know, we have to really think about this, Pat. And
nah, man, they both damn near on life support. Like, come on, man. Like, we can't do no better than this. Like, oh, my gosh. You know what it is? I think it's because I sat in. So, full disclosure, I had to sit in on some hearings. I sat in on a Senate hearing, and I'll pull it up. It was a Senate hearing and a congressional hearing. The Senate hearing was a little bit more serious. The congressional hearing, probably like 60% of the members wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, y'all know y'all getting paid, right? Y'all know y'all get paid to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Handsomely at that.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, outside of the base salary, being on chairs, being on committees— And, you know, the fact that y'all can still trade on the stock market while you're in office, like, come on.
Well, that's, you know, a lot of folks go down to Washington, D.C. and become millionaires. But, you know, what's interesting, if you look at the list is the folks that look like you and I that are either still in debt or not millionaires. Riddle me that one, Batman.
They need to make better life choices. But that's, yeah, that again, I don't know. Because, I mean, we know black congressmen that are wealthy. So I don't.
But if you look at the list, a lot of them that look like us on that list are not millionaires. Mm. You know, it's interesting, and I'm gonna have to shout out the show that came on before us. Either they're starting to sound more like us and getting frustrated. Doug on the Don't Back Down show that comes on.
With Don Stan and
Stan has his own show as well. But you know, I think that everybody now, regardless of party, are now feeling the effects of what this word party is actually saying, meaning, because a lot of these folks that are being elected in our regions and our states are being elected from money that is coming from outside of the state. You know, what's known as dark money. You know, we've done many, many shows on dark money. You think about the amount of money that's being spent in this presidential, in the upcoming presidential race.
It can literally solve world hunger. Like, this is, it's absurd.
You know, and think about it. I spend all these millions and millions of dollars, you know, and I lose. Look at the money. Look at the money.
Oh, you don't lose. All your friends made money. Let's call a spade a spade.
But Pat, this is the world we're starting to live in, man. You know, these folks are out here, you know, they're feeding, and again, Don and them, they're feeding them what they want to hear. But when they get in the office, they have to now.
They don't deliver.
They have to now succumb to their folks that actually put up the money. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't have the kahunas to say, no, I work for the people. Thank you for helping me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is what happened to our first black mayor here in the city of Philadelphia, W. Wilson Good, Jr. I will always say he was the best managing director
Philadelphia. He should have stayed city manager.
Had.
From one city manager to another, he should have stayed in that seat.
Right. He was the best. But when he started having to receive money from the major corporations so that he could advance and win that the Democratic nomination and ultimately the mayorship, he had to start paying those debts back. I mean, we started having downtown Philadelphia was closed. No, it was not Frank Rizzo that did that. We started having the streets, the restaurants, and the corporations that own parking became valet parking, and they would park you. What I say in the words of Mike Tyson, it's just plain ludicrous. It's just plain ludicrous that I pay all this money for you to park my car on the street, and they call it valet parking.
I'll never let them touch my car. So
I'm just saying. If I was paying, because you, look, last night, did I even pay for a discounted parking spot in a parking lot?
No, I didn't pay you.
That I found out less than 24 hours that, oh, by the way, we have a discount park, and you can park in this lot for 20% off. But as you know where to park in the city of Philadelphia downtown. And I parked two cars and didn't pay any major corporation any money. So these are the things that go on, but see, folks, what you're not realizing, these folks have all these per diems, they have all of these free parking, they have all of this stuff. They don't have to worry about their cars being towed. They don't have to worry about the tickets on their cars. They don't have to worry about the things that the everyday person has to worry about.
Yep.
You know, half of them are running on public have ran or are running on public safety, gun control, all of this stuff. But as Pat says, we're never going to have any solutions because there is no
money in the cure.
Money in the cure.
So let's run the numbers. This comes off of Open Secrets. So from 1998 to 2023, congressional races, for some reason it doesn't have the presidential numbers for 98. But 1998, $2.9 billion was spent on congressional races.
And that's for the whole country, $2.9 billion.
The year 2000, $2.4 billion on presidential, $2.9 on congressional. 2002, congressional races, $3.6 billion. 2004, $3.5 billion on the congressional, $3 billion on the presidential.
Mm.
Another passing year, 2006, $4.1 billion. I don't know if you guys are noticing something, but, you know, I can't count, but the numbers seem to be getting higher. Congressional race, 2008, $3.4 billion. And the presidential was 3.8. That's because Obama ain't spend no money in the street. Following year, following cycle, 2010, congressional race, $4.9 billion. 2012, congressional races, $4.7 billion. Presidential, $3.4 billion. 2014, $4.8 billion. 2016, another presidential year. $2.9 billion spent in the presidential, $5.1 billion. That's a budget for the city of Philadelphia.
$5.1 billion, but that's for 435 seats.
Yep.
And they are up. They're not all. No, the Senate is not. Is split in half.
Mm-hmm.
So every 6 years, but.
Every 2 years,
right.
For
and every 2 years for Congress.
And then 2018, we have $6.7 billion for congressional. 2020 for congressional, you have $9.9 billion for congressional.
Whoa, 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 whoa. That's during pandemic. $9.2 billion during.
No, 9.9.
$9.9 billion
congressional.
During the pandemic
and
on congressional.
$6.5 billion for presidential. Last cycle, $8.9 billion, but they ain't no money. So these people are raising, again, I'm going to say this again, and I need people to hear me with the intent, no, listen to me with the intent to hear, not react. These folks make, the base salary is like $180, right? And then every committee, I can't remember each committee, how many thousand dollars is added on, but these folks can make up to $250,000 plus this money that they're raising. And they feel comfortable since 2009 saying that you are only worth seven, for those of you that make minimum wage, 7.25 dollars and cents an hour.
And they argue about, and look, think about this. Not just, if we're going to, we're talking about national right there, but if we bring it closer to home, it's the same type of situation. But on a lesser scale. And still, you only worth $7.25.
Since 2009. That's the last time that legislation was moved. And before that, it was $5.15.
And people jump up and down that we would go broke if we do this. We would. Well, hell, I got an idea, Pat. Why don't we ask some of these folks to take some of this money out of their war chest and put it into an employment fund?
No, take a pay cut.
You know that's not going to happen.
Some of y'all definitely need to take a pay cut.
You know that's not going to happen. They give themselves raises during their cycles for the next cycle.
Listen, I get it. It's still a job.
It's a job, but come on, Pat. You're not going to sit here and tell me that you're going to walk into your boss's office tomorrow and say, May 3rd of 2025, I'm giving myself 6 to 10% raise.
Well, I would ask for more than that. But no, that's not, historically, that's not something you can do.
Unless you're in council, Congress, Senate, state rep, the House.
Yeah, State Senator. Yeah.
State Senator. You know, and let's be realistic. When we look at the salaries of various people right here in the city of Philadelphia, there's times where the underlings of some of the mayors have made more than the mayor. When you think about it, look at those salaries, but yet and still, you can't get past $7.25.
Yeah, I mean, the last government, and this is according to Penn Live, the last government cycle was over $100 million spent on the governor's race.
Is that just here in Pennsylvania?
That's just Pennsylvania.
$100 million.
Yeah, $100 million them things. Yeah.
$102 million,
to be exact.
$100 million, but we can't get enough police officers. We can't get qualified teachers. We can't get new schools. We can't get books. We can't get laptops.
But here's the kicker. It's more than double what it costs to run the Department of State for Pennsylvania. Their budget for an entire year. Also, tolls did not include $12.5 million in-kind contributions. And the bulk of that year's spending came from Shapiro's campaign, which set its own record for the highest amount spent in a single gubernatorial race for a candidate.
And folks, we're not picking on these folks. You know, as Pat said.
No, we're not.
Everybody's entitled to a living.
Let's just talk numbers.
Everybody's entitled to a living, but you, the folks that go in these booths, go into these polling places, and elect these folks.
And don't read,
and you get the short end of the stick.
No, you catching hell. And the reason why you catch, because you ain't reading. You're not asking the right, especially when they come down to our community. That whole Joe Biden thing was nonsense. I don't care what none of y'all say. And again, I got issues with
Which
both
one?
Presidential candidates. When he came to North Philly. And what does the average person in that neighborhood, it's not like they meeting them, right? Because everything's roped off. So what is that really doing for anybody? I mean, let's talk about it.
Well, it's not doing anything for anybody because, again, you're not in that room with him. You're there to make the, even like if you go into a room with the presumptive Republican nominee, you see all of these folks. You're there to make the folks look good. And you're there because somebody, but basically, in most of the time, you're there because somebody told you to be there because the president is there and you see all the cameras and all that. I give you a prime example, Pat. Mm. When Barack Obama was, what's that, Vernon Park near you? Is that off of Germantown Avenue?
Vernon, you're right.
Vernon Park.
Especially known as Vermin Park.
Yeah,
so much trash in there.
Barack Obama and Joe Biden were coming to that area. And, you know, the city was there. The state rep, not city rep, representatives from the office, Councilman Curtis Jones's wife was part of the people that were in charge. And the young man, he actually went on to win, I believe it was American Idol. Him and his brother were promised to meet Barack Obama. And we were all there. We were sitting there, you know, we weren't in the regular places. Arlen Specter came in. You know, first of all, my problem was, how can you reserve a seat on a bleacher? Put down a piece of paper and call it reserve on a bleacher. That was problem one for me. And, you know, it was interesting because I was there and this young man and his brother, well, his family was supposed to meet Barack Obama. And all of a sudden, all the polls, meaning the politicians, went back there with him and all this and everything. And this young guy was hanging over the fence. Mm-hmm. you know, waiting his turn. Well, the state person for Pennsylvania, a young black lady, oh, well, that's not going to happen. He's got that. I said, and the guy, the young kid was disappointed and his family. So I said to them, I said, okay, we got a problem here. I said, all of the politicians back there taking pictures, doing those photo ops, and we don't have, this young man was promised. So I called her over. I said, we got two things we can do here. We either make this happen or tomorrow's headline's going to read, performer that was promised to meet Barack Obama snubbed by president and his team. Presumed to be president and his team. Mm. And his bodyguard, last name was Love then, and I called him over. And I said, what y'all going to do about this? Because we don't play kids or young people this way. You make them promises, and then you pull the rug from under them while they're seeing all these kissing the ring people back there. Well, after word got to the right people on what could be a media problem for Barack Obama, they promised, they said, okay, him and his brother can come back, they can take the pictures and meet him and then come back out. But see, that's not the way this was supposed to unfold. But everybody else was jumping up and down that, you know, Congressman Bob Brady, all of those folks, you know, back there, you know, I can't use the word that you normally say on air, but this is what was going on. And this is why folks have gotten turned off by these so-called politicians, and that's why they don't want to show up to these polls. But with that said, we're going to take our first commercial break. You're listening to Tony Tenor here on WWDB Talk 860 AM and WPEN 97.5 HD2.
Food and liquor stores rest on every corner, from 45th and State to the Last Stand in Henry Horner. J&J's, Hill Chicken, Goodfinger Licking, while they sin at Rothschild's and Kenwood Liquors. The Winos Crooked Stagger meets the high stride of the youth searching for the truth. They rebel and raise hell across alleyways and in classroom settings. They get high off that trunk base in 2020 rims. They rock braids, Air Force Ones and Tens. They drew Hennessy Hypnotic in 40s. They call their women bus downs and shorties. They keep funeral homes in business and gunshot wards of hospitals full. Prisons packed, bubbling over in brown sugar. They keep empty west side lots crowded, hypes powdered. The well is running dry. The days of Malcolm and Martin have ended. Our hope has descended and I see a side, waiting for the reinstallment of the revolution, because we are dying at the cost of our own pollution. But God has another solution that has evolved from the hood. I present one who turns the fiasco to good.
Welcome back to Tone and Tenor here in WWDB Talk 860 AM and WPN 97.5 HD2. I'm Randall Jefferson.
I'm Pat Edward.
We're just talking about, you know, primary elections. We're talking about the consequences. We're talking about, you know, why there's apathy, why folks don't want to go to the polls, and what the consequences are. You know, right here in the city of Philadelphia.
Fiasco was the proper word.
Well,
this is a flipping fiasco.
yeah, it's been a lot of that this week, in the past 2 weeks, that we've been involved in.
Gosh, man.
But, you know, one of the things that, you know, Pat, that we talk about, you know, the right of the vote, right in the 10th district here in the city of Philadelphia, new district, there was a very close race between the incumbent, Amon Brown, and activist Kaz Green, who is in Philadelphia.
And I like them both, but I told y'all Kaz was going to win. I'm not going to say who I told, but like Randall was there on the phone with him, like, listen, she ain't going to win. Because the third party is going to split the vote because of ego. Right. The same thing I said with all of the all of the, respectfully, all of the AG candidates on the southeast corner of the state. I felt like they all had something unique to add to the pot.
Mm-hmm.
But all of y'all can't be sitting in the seat, right? Somebody has to sit back and say, hey, look, we're going to make you king or queen. Right. But here's what you got to give me in return. I want this department in return. Sometimes you got to do that.
Sometimes you got to do the backroom negotiations, you know, and this.
With fidelity, though, right?
Right.
Because you don't want to walk away naked. So I get that.
Right, right. You know, but this is what happened, especially in the 10th. And I live in, full disclosure, I live in the 10th. I'm going to be straight up honest with you. I like one of the candidates. I do know him. I know the incumbent. You know, but to be honest with you, the other two, I do know of Cass Green, and I do know of Purple Blackwell. You know, but these two individuals, I saw not in my neighborhood. I saw their door knockers. You know, I did not see, I saw their, every now and then, a palm card, but not the individual. You know, and with all due respect, you know, I do see Amon in certain areas. You know, he does something at the 18th Police District. But, you know, I'm telling you, all of you, regardless, need to be more visible, not just at ribbon-cutting ceremonies, you know, not just because you got an office on a street that you don't go to, or you got two and three offices, but you go to the office that's in the safer neighborhood. The only way these neighborhoods could be cleaned up is if you
see
have
what's going
presence.
On.
You know, in prime example, Pat, and you've been following this with me. We have a guy that's running around our neighborhood in West Philadelphia between Irving and Locust, 5300, 5400 blocks. This guy's going around trying to break in houses, porch pirating, and all of that. And he tried to get into my house. So, you know, me and my diligence, we was going to get him. Unfortunately, due to the DA's policies, once a guy was caught and tried to sell the merchandise on 52nd Street, on the street that our council person calls the business corridor, you can get this and you can get that, but you could also sell your hot items.
Well, he's trying to do business.
You could sell your hot items, and the cops, the young man who followed him had to convince the police that and show him the DC number, and it wasn't until the police that I had been working with showed up that they actually got the guy. They got him red-handed, trying to sell the phone, trying to sell other merchandise, but under the stupid policies, he's back on the street. And elderly folks can't walk the street. So, you know, if you are out there, somebody, you folks that are sitting in the ivory towers need to stop worrying about this, that, and the other, and you start need to be out and worrying about your districts.
Again, I told you what it's going to take, and it's the same thing. And, you know, and this, I'm not knocking anybody, but, you know, the Office of Violence Prevention did not exist until David O. got stabbed. This is facts. But you can ask him if you like.
But even in the area that David O. lives, if you pull up Citizens app, you will continuously see the shootings. You will still see the robbery.
Sure.
You will still see all that. But we don't, quote unquote, have enough jail space. We don't have this. We don't have that.
Well, it's not about jail. It's economics. The issue, y'all, is education economics. That is the basis. And I've told you guys over and over again, more than 21% of Philadelphians do not have a high school diploma. Out of 1.6 million people, you do the math. Like, that breeds something, right? If people are not educated, they don't have a sense of community, values, morals. I mean, Maslow's hierarchy of needs. The basic needs is what? Food, water, shelter, at least one person that gives a damn about you, right? This is very simple math. And then when you throw in the economics, you become, like right now, I know a young man, I'll put too much business on the street, but I know a young man who just graduated from some school out in West Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. He's 22, pretty smart. He went to school for criminal justice, and he's doing random jobs. And, you know, I was talking to his mom, like, why isn't he applying for jobs at, like, Montco or, like, oh, well, he needs to take a civil service. No, he don't. He go be a social worker right now with a four-year degree. Mm-hmm. Let me show you where to go. Let me show you what to do. Right? So even with education, you still ain't educated. Right? That is a problem. And then we have people who go to school for 12 years and get 6 or 7 years of education. Somebody, I'm going to say it again, somebody behind is supposed to be in jail. Somebody. Right? Because if you look at any society, be it Europe, Africa, Japan, China, the brightest places have the best societies. Period. So again,
well, not just
education,
that.
Economics, or not, and I'll add nutrition to that.
When you edit those countries, think about what's happening here. A lot of the students, a lot of folks are coming here to be educated, and then they're going back.
Okay, they go right back.
They go back home, you know, and they think about China. If China was to call in the debt that this country owed, we would be a bankrupt country. I mean, let's keep it real.
If other countries are able to live off the natural resources,
half of you right now that are in our listening ears, if you have clothes on or something on, look at the label. Yeah. Majority of the clothes or whatever you have says made in China.
Yeah.
Whether the table that you're eating on, made in China. You know, why do you think that when the export, what happened in Baltimore, they needed to get that waterway opened because that cargo is coming from overseas to be delivered here. Very seldom do you see labels that say made in the USA. Very seldom. So, you know, we have these
unions. And that's because of NAFTA.
NAFTA, and that was under Bill Clinton.
It's one of the worst pieces of legislation ever. Like, you literally, this is just open season on just like, just stuff not being made here. And then we wonder why, like, I mean, yeah, it's cheaper. But again, if minimum wage and inflation were in step with each other, because we have people who can actually read in our legislatures, or who actually read, period, in general.
Let's correct that. Most of them, the staff reads and then tells them what, interprets what they read and then tells them what they read. A lot of them don't even read. I mean, I don't. How many of them you think were anal enough to read the Affordable Care Act when they came out? And remember how many thousands of pages that was?
I mean, I've been fortunate. Two elected officials I work for, they actually read. So, I mean, and they were known as legislative, state legislators that read.
Well, see, that's the problem. You know, that's the problem that I have with a board that I presently sit on.
Sure.
I read everything. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not supposed to read. And I told them that I will read everything. I will read the bylaws. I will read. And if it's not making sense, I'm going to ask the questions.
Sure.
Because no question is a dumb question. The dumb question is a question that you don't ask.
Sure.
You know, but this is how our society, Pat, is brainwashed. You know, is do as I say, not as I do.
I mean, but it starts with the school structure, which we know came from John D. Rockefeller. Again, look it up. So I've already explained this already. So, like, you're trained to just, you know, sometimes follow things blind. And there are some situations where that is necessary. Like, when I was in the Army, yeah, you probably want to follow that drill instructor with 15 to 25 years experience blindly because he's going to keep you alive, right? Situations like that, yeah.
I don't know whether it's me or somebody else. We had a conversation about the military,
sure.
You know, and the training and the education that you get in the military.
It's top notch.
Top notch. I mean, everyone that I know that has, whether they did a whole stint and retired or did part, or even yourself in the military, it's the knowledge and the structure that you gain, you know. And but everybody thinks that you go to military, you're going to go to war. Don't you realize, folks, that
how many jobs are in the Army, Air Force, Coast Guard? Yeah. Navy, there's a bunch of jobs. I mean, the most, the ones where that are easier to transfer, transition back into civilian life is the Army and the Air Force. But like, let's be real, y'all. Like, I think personally, it's just, and this is my personal opinion. This is not a statement of WWDB, Tone and Tenor, or Randall. There needs to be some sort of rite of passage. And I think the rite of passage is somewhere between a junior ROTC, senior ROTC, or some type of boot camp. I think every young man, I don't care, race, color, creed, sexuality, whatever, there needs to be, that's the one thing I do agree with like Israel and Iran and those countries where you have to go serve your country for at least 2 years because it gives you a sense of pride and community. Right.
Well,
and service.
Wait. Think about it. What's when up? We had the draft, before they abolished the draft, you had to, remember, go sign up for the draft.
Yeah, but I mean, it's forceful. But I think it's something that we should probably vote on. You know, the same way we voted on that, you know, for those of us that are independent voters or independent thinkers, you know, you were only able to answer the question. You couldn't vote for, you know, the person that's supposed to be running your section of the state or town, which I think is crazy.
But that goes back to us being a closed state when primaries.
Yeah.
And again, nobody's going to have the kahunas that are sitting up there in the ivory tower of the state capitol because then they become vulnerable. They become vulnerable because now
Not if you do your job.
Well, they become vulnerable. That's the key. If you're not doing your job, they become vulnerable and they can be replaced much more quicker and easier. You can't sit there and twiddle your thumbs and say, well, I need to stay here 5 years. I can get a state pension or I can get beat and then come back, tell the world I'm only coming back so I can get a state pension and then keep running. You know, these are the crazy things that folks don't see, but it's because one, misinformation, no information, and you're trying to live day by day. You know?
Yeah. So real quick, we're going to go back to the final numbers for...
let's hold the final numbers for that, and we're going to take our second and final break. Okay. And this is Tone and Tenor here on WWDB Talk 860 AM and WPEN 97.5 HD2.
Mississippi, surrounded by for world that ain't so pretty. His parents give him love and affection to keep him strong, moving in the right direction, living just enough for the city.
Welcome back to Tone and Tenor here on WWDB. We're living just enough for the city of Philadelphia. You know, Hardtown, Philadelphia. You know, we need to change the word from Hardtown, Mississippi to Hardtown, Philadelphia. you know, because we living in hard times in Philadelphia, but our topic of the day is we're still talking about the election results, winners, losers, distractions, and what we need to look for ahead. Before we're going to break, Pat was getting ready to give us some final numbers, I guess, for the city of Philadelphia.
Yeah, so and this comes from Philly.gov. No, sorry, vote.philly.gov results or slash results. Total voter turnout, 200,860. There's 1 million.
Over 1 million registered voters.
Oh, my gosh, this is ridiculous. This is really, I didn't realize how bad this is. That's only 19%.
Well, see, we started last week, remember, but we didn't have the final numbers in yet. But, you know, but we're talking 19. I think we were at 14% last week without everything being finalized. Now we're at 19%.
Yeah, so over 200,000, we have 1,037,671 registered voters. Ballots casted by mail, 68,326. That's not bad. Ballots cast at the polling place, 131,058. Provisional ballots, 1,476. And this is out of 1,703 total divisions that were reported. Now, the races that, you know, we were looking at with a microscope, the 10th district, which Randall is a resident of, Rep Brown finished with 2,991 votes. Challenger Cass Green finished with 2,947 votes. That's pretty slim. Saj, also known as Purple Blackwell, was another challenger. Finished with 20% of the vote at 1,496. And then you had 25 write-ins.
And I'm going to make a point. That's less than what she had when she ran the term before.
Mm-hmm.
That was Purple Blackwell. Cass Green actually bought that closer. I think it was about 47 votes between her and Amin. Somewhere about 47. It's less than 50 votes. So voting does count.
Okay. No, you're right. And then we had the 170th. There's no name here. But there was only 380 votes casted. That is unacceptable. Kevin Boyle finally was defeated by Sean Doherty for the 172nd. I think that's like the Fox Chase area.
Right.
Yeah, it was time for him to go anyway. Either way, it was time for him to go. Pat Gallagher went unchallenged. Ed Nielsen went unchallenged. Mary Louise Isaacson went unchallenged. Joe Hornstein went unchallenged. These are all river wards, by the way. Just pay attention. I'm just saying. Don't take it personally. It is what it is. Jason Dawkins went unchallenged.
That used to be old man Hoffman before they put the screws in him for Doherty. I'm not saying.
Giral. 180. Shoot, he only had 1,400 votes. These people are vulnerable. Anyway, incumbent Rep Kenyatta, who had a bunch of people running against him too, smoked everybody.
That was Malcolm Kenyatta.
Yeah, he smoked everybody.
He also won the Democratic nomination for was that Attorney General?
Yeah, he's not gonna beat Tim though. And you could mark me saying that, but because Tim is just more widely known across the state. And he don't make people, he doesn't come off radical. He's very even-keeled and very stoic.
And this is black on black.
Yeah.
And we're not talking about black on black crime.
No, it's black on black politics. So he came out with 3,835, which was 73% of the vote. Former ward leader that was ousted, Brother Nash. Unfortunately, he only got 870 votes. And Nadira Griffin, who's run for several offices, got 469 votes. But she was visible. I seen her stuff everywhere. Even the places where it wasn't supposed to be. And then you had 35 wasted votes with the write-ins.
Sometimes I don't consider the write-ins wasted votes. I consider them, you know, folks that really, really did some research and wanted some real change. They didn't like any of the three or two or one that was running. And, you know, but there was nobody that really stepped up to the plate, that really tickled their fancy, so to speak.
Sure.
Well, you know, I shouldn't say it like that because we're talking about that race and, you know, something.
Yeah, moving on. So, let's make that cracking up. All right, Elizabeth Felter out of South Philly. Nobody ran against her, so not much to talk about. Rep Young out of Southwest. Nobody ran against her. Incumbent Chair Jordan Harris. Nobody ran against him. Rick Krajewski.
Stop the shenanigans, Jordan.
I don't get none of that. Rick Krajewski, who was the incumbent. I've never seen this guy before. Tony DeFax King.
I will say Rick did bring my polling place. He bought around some Dunkin' Donuts.
He smoked this guy. It was 82% to 16%. Like, smoked him. Rep Green, your favorite rep, your former rep, Ronnie Green. Some guy named James Love Jackson. She got 66% of the vote. He got 32. Not terrible. Yeah,
that's not bad for somebody that nobody knows.
No idea who he is.
You know, so that shows some vulnerability right there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Speaker of the House, who's been
nobody ran against her.
Been on the show a couple times, nobody ran against her. Rep Cephas.
Nobody ran against her.
But she did get over 8,000 votes. Interesting. Tariq Khan, whose brother ran for AG, nobody ran against him either. And then the chair of, I think, Childhood Affairs and something else, Rep Bullock out of North Philly, nobody kind of like the Strawberry Mansion area. Nobody ran against her either. I guess we can look at the final numbers for the state rep. Presidential stuff and all that stuff doesn't really matter.
But this is where, and we're talking about the Democratic side, most of them Democratic side. But even on the Republican side.
There was only
side,
like two Republicans the whole
yeah,
thing.
And on the Republican side, it was the same. Even the Aaron Beshear, who was running for Congress, there was nobody who's going to run against incumbent Dwight Evans for 3rd Congressional District. Neither one of them really had, except for Dwight Evans did have former Register of Wills Tracy Gordon running against him.
Who couldn't win her own seat citywide. Waste of time. Moving on. All right, so delegates. Because this was actually interesting to me. Because I know some of these people. I'm not going to tell y'all who we know, but we know some of these people. So, yeah.
And these are Democratic delegates.
Democratic. I think they put the Republicans in here too. Republicans at the bottom. They kind of mixed it up a little bit better, though. So for the Democratic National Convention, y'all. So we're looking at the 2nd District.
Which will be held in Chicago.
Yep, can't wait. The food is so good. So I'm excited already. Monica Desiree Robinson, 11%. Aubrey Montgomery, 11%, 11.6. Danilo Burgess, who's state reps, I don't get this, but 11.4%. Michelle Lockman, 11.2%. Andy Perez, 11.1. Council member Ketsi Lozada, 11.04. Patrick Parkinson, 10.4%. Gianni Hill, 10.28%. Scott Heppard, 9%. And then 1% of write-ins. So this is for the 2nd district.
But you know what's interesting though, Pat. You know, we can talk about the delegates. These are folks that go in to the convention, and they're the ones that say yay or nay to the prospective nominee for president. But also, elected officials are known as superdelegates. So there's so many that are invited as superdelegates that didn't even have to run.
Yeah, we got a couple.
You know, didn't have to run. You know, so they're going to be named superdelegates to the convention, whether it's Republican in Milwaukee or in Chicago. And this is where all the, I don't know whether there's going to be any some giggles or anything. I don't know whether
this is some giggles.
You know, whether whether you know, whether the geriatric rates, whether something may change at the conventions, you know, whether someone, you know, unlike here in Philadelphia in 2016, where there could have been a floor fight where Hillary Clinton, where Bernie Sanders could have actually took his case to the floor, and that was assumed that he could have won the nomination if it was taken to the floor.
Mm-hmm.
But again, the backroom politics that was played, that, you know, okay, Hillary, you step back, you become Secretary of State. Next time around, we're going to get you. You're going to be the presidential nominee.
Worst decision ever.
Well,
because she got white at that debate.
And how did that fall out? Look at what happened.
She got mopped.
You know, this is what you know. This is what happens when you have these backroom. You know, you have to have again the information. You got to be. You got to be edumacated. And you got to make sure you got that strong candidate. If you're going to have these backroom discussions and you're going to cut these backroom deals that used to work, make sure you got the right people you're cutting them with.
Especially, I mean, I don't care
whether you're Democrat or Republican. Cut those deals with the right folk.
Listen, man, I have never seen anything like that, Randall. Like, he cut her down on national TV with that tax thing. Like, she walked right into that. And in that moment, we all knew.
Well, you know, one of the things was that, you know, whoever her handlers were, whoever, again, you know, you can't keep hiring these folks that really don't know, I'm going to call it the game. You know, you can't say, okay, well, because I'm a woman, all women going to vote for. How did that fare for Kamala Harris?
55% of white women voted for Trump.
How did fare for Kamala Harris when she thought that AKAs, all of her sisters, were going to vote for
her? It doesn't matter. They don't make enough of a dent anyway. The bottom line is 55% of white women voted for Trump.
Absolutely. And Hillary did not even take a page out of Barack Obama's book and visit every county in the state of Pennsylvania.
It's only 67.
She listened to the same crazy folk. And look at what happened. Look at what happened. You know, before we get off the air, I'd like to...
She's not going to listen. She come from money.
I like to say, you know, me and Pat, we and several of Team 10 and Tenor attended a celebration last night, of which I'm on the board, Center for Advocacy for the Rights and Interests of Elders. And we want to congratulate Miss Naomi Siegel. Miss Naomi Siegel was the recipient of the Jacqueline R. Jefferson Outstanding Volunteer Award, which I believe this is the second one. And it's named after my mother, who's been a volunteer in any capacity since 1968. And she still volunteers. And I want to personally recognize Miss Naomi Siegel, who was in attendance. Unlike the Spirit of Kerry Award honoree, he and board member Paul Nathanson. Yeah, congratulations to him for winning that award. But for Miss Naomi Siegel, we want to say congratulations and thank you for being here. And you know, your 22 years of Jefferson and working at Jefferson and nursing was unfounded, and working on the carry line with the older folks, trying to get them help. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all that you do.
Yeah. Also, got to shout out the big homie, Maurice Goodman. Hey, man, we are proud of you. Wonderful work. He is, what's that thing called?
250 on the board something? Of Gallatin,
Member board of directors for Philadelphia 250. Yep. I just pulled it up.
Philadelphia 250. And he was a former and still is part of Team Tone Timber. We got to go.
Yeah, we
got to
run.
You know, we want to thank Tyler, our engineer. We want to thank you, our listeners, for listening to us today. We want to thank WWDB. You're listening to us. Come back next week. I'm Randall Jefferson.
I'm Pat Edward. See you next week. Remember, be good to yourself and be good to each other.
Thank you.
Y'all do my time when it's timely. Sometimes the Bible tastes like marmalade. My mama still sipping. Politician old Donald Duck a quacking new kitchen. They kept the melting pot inside the slave plot. Watch. They gentrified your neighborhood. No